Thank you so much. Well, we're going to get right into the Word this morning. I love the Olympics. I know it happened a couple of weeks ago now, but I absolutely love the Olympics. I DVR everything that the Olympics, everything I get on the Olympics. Then I watch it through at mock speed. Drives my wife crazy. She goes, "We didn't get to see that." I go, "It's not important. I just need to see this. I just need to see the end of all this because I got too much stuff here. I want to watch it all. I want to get involved in it." And it's amazing to me. The new event that was this year was skateboarding. Do you know the average age of Olympic medal in skateboarding was? 14.5 years of age. The average age of the medalist, 14.5. The youngest one, I think, was 12 years old. Anybody 12 years old in here? Anybody 12? Okay, stand up. That'd be like you winning the gold medal. I guess she can't, she can't, she can't, she can't, she can't, she can't. Yes, she can, yes, she can. I remember when I was 12, oh, to be 12 again. Oh, Lord, that would be awesome. The Apostle Paul, though, I think what I love best about the Olympics are the track and field. I love the races. I love watching all of those races. And it's interesting because Paul talks to us from the Scriptures about a race, not just an Olympic race, but a race that we're all in. If you'd stand, let's read the Scripture together in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Thank you so much. You may be seated. We love the Word of God here. We love it. We love it. We love it. I want to kind of go through parts of this Scripture, and I have another one as well. We're thinking about this race, and I think there's all sorts of races that we're involved in. Students, you got a race right now. You're racing in school, trying to get through classes and move into a profession and all of that. We're all involved in some sort of a race, a job, whatever. There's some adventure that the Lord has before us. Some call it a marathon. I know a lot of people say, "Hey, this Christian race is really a marathon." I think of Molly Sedell. Remember her? It was her third Olympic marathon, or her third marathon that she had ever run in her entire life, and she got third in the Olympics. Crazy, huh? The third one she's ever run, and she gets third in the Olympics. That was absolutely incredible to me. But I think more so than just a marathon, again, I know it's a long race, I think it's more like a steeplechase. I think our walk, our run, if you will, this race we're running is more like a steeplechase because there's all sorts of obstacles that are going to jump in front of you. In that steeplechase, they have to run over hurdles. They got to run over, you got to jump over the beam and land in water and go through all this distress and everything. And you're wet. And I mean, it's just obstacles thrown at you. That's our walk, our run, if you will. As Christians, there's going to be all sorts of obstacles going to come out against you. But God says, run. Do you not know that those who run a race all run? You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that they all sit. It doesn't say that we're supposed to be lazy. He says there's going to be some effort. We're going to run a race. We're in a race. Bear Bryant said, "It's not the will to win that matters. It's the will to prepare to win that matters." Everybody wants to win. When you're sitting there on the couch eating all your potato chips, you're wanting to win. But it's only those that prepare to win that really are going to win. It's a different story. Those that were actually involved, those that want to do something, those that want to discipline their bodies. It says, "Do you not know that we are all in a race?" And that race, I think I would call it life. It's not a rat race. You're not a rat. You're a spiritual person. You're a spiritual athlete. It's a spiritual race. We talk about this. You're not going to exert, you know, energy in running. You don't have to run laps and all that because this race I'm going to get in. No. It's a race. It's your life. It's the events that are going to go through your life. It's the difficulties that are going to come. It's the hurdle that you're going to have to get over. It's the water you're going to have to run through. And he said that God will split the water wide open. He'll help us get over the hurdles. He'll help us in all the troubles. They're going to happen in our life. They will be there. But will we continue to persevere? Will we continue to run this race and run it hard? It's also a race against time. My race is getting shorter. Your race over here is long. Mine is getting shorter. We're only all on this planet for a certain amount of time. You got a certain amount of time to finish your race. And oh God, that we would all ask you, what is the race you've got us in? What are the things that you want us to do? And let us complete them with great urgency. Let's complete them with great excellence, Lord. We love you. 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 It goes on to say, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run to obtain this prize. What are we supposed to obtain? This prize. What is the prize? Anybody know what the prize is we're running for?
Freedom.
What else? Eternal life. Anything else? Jesus. You guys are all running this race. What are we running it for? I think, right, as it was said back here, I think eternal life is, I think all of those are correct, but eternal life, we're running for eternal life, right? We're running this race because at the end of this race, we're going to enter into heaven, which is going to be a joyful, wonderful, and exciting place to be. We're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever as we run this race to the glory of God. So I believe, yes, one of the aspects is eternal life. But I think there's another aspect. It's called rewards. Rewards. Now this is interesting because every Christian's promise eternal life as you continue to follow the Lord, he's going to open up heaven's door to you. You're going to be there forever and ever. But there's this other thing that's called rewards. And I don't totally understand it. I'm just trying to tell you what the word says. It talks about rewards. There's two judgments. There's the great, great white throne judgment. Those who aren't saved are going to be judged at that. There's also the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible talks about. And we as Christians will be judged at that. Not to see if we go to heaven or not. We're going to go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Everybody say, hallelujah. I'm so excited I get to go to heaven. But there's also something else talked about. There's a reward. There's some aspect of a reward. I don't get it all, but I know it's for the glory of God. Some will get them, some will not get them. We're all going to be heaven, that's great. But some will do something for the glory of God that will bring an aspect of reward because of how they ran their race. How they ran it. They ran it. They didn't just slide through, try to get into heaven. But they ran it with honor, with dignity, with sacrifice. They ran it for the glory of God. Made decisions that were difficult. No, I'm not going to do that. Yes, I'm going to do that. No, I'm not going to go to that thing. Yes, I am going to share with that guy next to me, even though I'm nervous, even though I'm scared, even though I'm frightened. There's this aspect of reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14 and 15 says, if anyone's works which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. You're not going to get the reward. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So he's saying, yeah, you're going to make it to heaven, but do you want to miss out on all the great things that the Lord has for you in the midst of this run that God has you on? I need to get two guys to help me. I think Josiah, where are you, Josiah? Can you come up here? And Isaac, was it Isaac I met out there? Where's Isaac? Isaac, where are you? Come on up here, Isaac. Run up here. Run, run. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Here's what I'm going to do. Where are you from?
Puyallup.
And you may know this guy. You may know his dad, Jesse Meyer. Jesse and Michael Ann. They were here. How many years ago? I mean, it's been
15 years.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Yeah, they were here before you were here.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
yeah. Okay, just do the math.
Long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Okay. And Isaac, where are you from?
Concord, California.
Concord, California. All right. And what are you going to try to be in, what's your major?
Pre-athletic training.
Pre-athletic training. So before you get athletically trained, you have to do something. Okay, all right. See, it's a complicated race that we're in here, I'm telling you. And what's your major?
Kinesiology.
Oh, look at, I picked two guys who are thinking about the race here, right? All right, good job. Good for me. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you both, here's what I have you do. I want you both to just run up those stairs. Not yet. Not yet. See? Run up those stairs. Can you run up those stairs?
I can try.
You're an athletic. You're in pre. This is pre-athletic stuff, okay? This is pre-athletic stuff you got to do here. So I need you to run up. I'm going to have you run to the top of those stairs, all right? And I want you to run. I thought you took off already. I want you to run to the top of those stairs, okay? I'm going to put you over there and you over there. But here's the deal. If you can get to the top of those stairs in 12 seconds, I will give both of you $20. I will reward you with $20. All right. Can you make it now?
I can still try.
Okay. I'm going to give you both $20. I need you to get over here. You to get over here. And you to get over here. Get over right over to the end. You're just going to run as fast as you can to get to the top. All right? Okay. Get excited. It's going to work. It's going to work. Can you make it? You got to run hard, right? You can make it, can't you? You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. The thing I didn't tell you, though, is you see that man up there?
Uh-huh.
He's going to try to stop you from getting up there. You think that's bad? See that man over there? Stand up. That man's over three bills. Would you rather, do you want that side or this side? This side? I'd take this side too. I'd take this guy. I love him, man. I love him, but I'd probably take this side too. Because three bills, you know, two. Two bills? Bill more? A little more? Is there some change in there? Two bills and 10 cents? Over here we got what? We got three bills plus, all right? All right, here's what's going to happen now. I'm giving you $20. 20 bucks. Right, get right there. You just run. You get past them. Okay, what I would encourage you to do is this. I just run to the side of them. Get past them, okay? Just run to the side. Get past those big men. They're going to stand right in the middle there. All right. All right, just a second. On your marks. Wait, just a second. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray. Should always pray before you run, man. It's just, Lord, there's obstacles today we're going to face. Help us to get through, go around the obstacles, Lord. We're worried about going through them, but going around, they'll get us around the obstacle, Lord. Help us to get the destiny that you have for us and receive the rewards for running a good race. Ready? He's scared, man. You're going to make it. Run hard, though, okay? Run hard. Just run to the side of him. Run to the side of him. On your mark. I'm going to count it down. Get set. Run. 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Oh, my gosh. Come on back down here. Come on back down here. My obstacles didn't do much today. Come on back down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Run, 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 run. All right, get over here. So, let me ask you one question. I was going to have you run to the top, and then I gave you $20. Did that make you want to run faster?
Yeah.
Yeah, it made. And then you had an obstacle up there, right? You just went right through him.
Yeah.
He didn't even bother you, did he?
Nope.
Why?
Just went past him.
I told him not to. I told him not to. No. He wanted to take you out.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know that the Lord also does the same thing for you? You have an adversary, and God says, no, no, no. He wanted to sift you like wheat, but I wouldn't let him. Yeah. I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let him. You need to realize we all have obstacles that we're all running through, and they look like they're 300-pound giants. And all God's saying is, just keep running. Just keep running. Just keep running. Run right through it because I am with you, and He gives us the power to succeed. Amen? $20 for you. $20 for you. Give them a big hand. Good job, buddy. Good job, man. Good job. All right, give them a good hand. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. You see, what rewards do for us, rewarding us, I think, it makes us more determined, right? It gives us some incentive. You get there faster. Did you notice that? If I would have told him, get to the top of the stairs, he could have just walked up there. But when I say get there in 12 seconds, I should have said 5 seconds, because they both blazed up there. Well, the reason I did it in 10 is because I had Amir run up there, and he did it in 10. And I was worried they couldn't do it in 10. Amir, they beat your record. They beat your record. Of course, I had Amir start from way over here, though, so that probably... and plus he had already been running up and down the stairs. He was winded as he started, but anyway. The result, you're more determined. You get there faster. You get there faster when you know there's a reward here. And the other thing is you don't get distracted. You know what? I have to get there. I have to go. They didn't bother with the distraction. They didn't bother them telling, hey, stop, stop, don't go. They just ran right through the distraction. You see, God is telling us, yes, we have eternal life. That's there. But I've also got rewards for you along the way. Will you run in such a way that you will obtain them? Will you run in such a way that you're serious? That you don't let distractions or obstacles bother you? That you make sure you make haste and get it done in an expeditious manner? And that you're determined and you're going to make it happen? That's why God's given us a race. And that's why He's given us rewards. The word obtain here, that you may obtain this prize, is kalambano. Catalambano. Okay? It means to take eagerly, to seize, to possess, to acquire with the implication of significant effort. Let me say this, that the race that you're in, your Christian race, the race you're running, whether it's school or your job or being a husband or being a wife or being a kid, whatever race the Lord has you, whatever event He has you in right now, He's saying it won't be difficult. It will be difficult. It will be difficult. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. It's not just easy. It's easy to get saved. Jesus, come into my life. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that ever happened to me. But it's difficult to walk the walk. It's difficult to walk the walk, or in my analogy here, to run the race. To run the race with excellence. To run the race deciding I'm going to win. I'm going to do it for Jesus. Run to win. Christianity is not about just getting a participant ribbon. It's about winning. It's about winning. It's not just, you know, it looks great with little kids. We give them a participant ribbon and they're 2 years old and they're in a baby crawl event. Okay, we all give them a participant ribbon. But when you're 40 years old and you get a participant ribbon, that's not good. Hey, I participated. I participated. Now, God wants you to win. God's called you to win. God has given you all the power and all of the ability and all the enabling through the Holy Spirit to win. And I'll tell you what, it feels great standing on the top of the platform in the winner's circle. In Matthew 25:23, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he didn't say this to these servants. He didn't say, "You're done, servant. Done. Thank you for participating, servant. Thank you for living life, breathing oxygen. Thank you for participating." Here's what he says. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He didn't just say, "Oh, you participated. You participated. Thank you for being a Christian. You participated in the race. Yep, wonderful. Yeah, you're going to heaven. Absolutely. You participated." I don't want to get to heaven and God goes, "You know what? The race you ran." Let me just say, you participated. You participated. You get a participant ribbon. Come on in. I don't want that. I don't want a participant ribbon for the one who gave his all for me. Shouldn't I be willing to give my all for him? Shouldn't I be willing to run and endure? Shouldn't we run the race to win? He goes on to say, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. The word competes here means to struggle. To struggle, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary. He who competes, we're running against an adversary. You see, you're not running against one another. We're all on the same team. We're encouraging one another. We're running, though, against an adversary. And that adversary is the devil. That adversary is the one who lies and cheats. The one who's trying to steal away the victory that you have. Do not listen to him. Do not listen to people who want to dissuade you from running your race for Jesus Christ with all you have and settling for a participant ribbon. Thank you, Christians. You participated. You came to church. Yes, you were nice to people. You participated. We give you a participant ribbon. I don't want a participant ribbon. I want to run the race to win. I want to run and make decisions in my life that may be difficult, but will honor Jesus Christ all the way and give him the glory. Our adversaries, the devil. Our adversaries, the flesh, the things inside of us that don't want to go the way God wants us to. Our adversary is the principalities and powers that are out there. Our adversary is this whole world system, the cosmos. This world system, this way of doing things that's owned by the cosmic creator, the Bible says. The cosmos, the world system, owned by the cosmic creator, which is the devil. That whole system of things of this world that aren't right according to this. This is what we need to live. This is what we need to have deep in our heart. The word temperate. Everyone who competes, contends with this adversary for the prize, is temperate. Temperate. The word temperate here means to exercise self-restraint. To exercise complete control. Now, I look at this one, I went, wow. To exercise complete control over one's desires and actions. That means in all things and in all areas that our appetite doesn't run us. God runs us. I don't want to go to the gym. We go to the gym. I want to eat all those potato chips. We only have one. Maybe two. All right, I had three. Okay. I'm saying that there's this idea of running the race that God is saying you're going to have to be temperate. You're going to have to be able to exercise self-control over your body, over your lifestyle. You're going to have to say no to yourself and mean it. No, you don't get to do that. And mean it. And mean it. It's amazing. Every time I go to bed, I wake up in the morning and go, nope, I don't want to do that. I want to do that. I want to eat that. I want to eat that. I want to lose some pounds. I want to do that. And then about noon, all of a sudden I go, I want to eat that. I want to eat that. I want to eat that. I want to drink that. And then I go, oh, no, I probably shouldn't. And get to dinner. I want to eat that, drink that. And then all of a sudden I had what I probably shouldn't have had there. And I go to bed at night and I go, doggone it, I don't want to do that. In the morning, I want to do it differently. And so in the morning, I get up and I go, I don't want to. It's amazing how in the morning we have all this excitement. But when we face the challenge, sometimes it becomes more difficult. I get it. I get it. And please, I'm in this race too with you all. All right. I'm trying to run this race and I fail miserably in a lot of areas of my life. I'm not trying to stand here as someone who's perfect before you, but I want to encourage all of us, hey, let's run a little faster. Let's run a little harder. Let's train a little more. Because there's a reward. There's rewards for the glory of God Almighty. I want to present them to Him. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. A perishable crown. They're athletes. They're temporal athletes. They're getting a medal. They're getting a wreath. The old days, they used to get a wreath around their head, but we for an imperishable crown. Christians, we're doing it for eternal life. We're doing it for eternal purposes, something that will last forever. There's a well-known survey in sports known as the Goldman Dilemma. For it, A researcher, Bob Goldman, began asking elite athletes in 1980s, a lot of drugs and doping and stuff was happening, whether they would take a drug that guaranteed them a gold medal, but would also kill them within 5 years. Guarantee them a gold medal, but it'll kill you in 5 years. More than half the athletes said yes. I would risk just living 5 years more for the glory of this Olympic medal. And I started thinking about us as Christians. What are we willing to die for? Are we willing to say to live for Jesus Christ? Hey, is awesome. To die is gain. I'm going to, whatever. I'm willing to die to myself to live for you, Lord. I just think that here they are getting a temporal reward. We're getting an eternal one. I want to make sure I'm running this race with everything inside of my guts. I want to cross the finish line. Verse 26, therefore he does three things. I run thus not with uncertainty. Uncertainty, not knowing what I'm doing. I run with purpose. If you're in this race, I'm going to give you three things to do. Number one, run with purpose. Don't misstep. Don't waste a step. Don't be running your race and going, what's going on over here? Hey, what are you guys doing? Hey, oh my gosh, yeah, let me do that. Let me do that. Yeah, hey, let's party. Let's do all that. And all of a sudden, we're missing out on our race. We're taking a detour. We're running to an obstacle. We're not running at full tilt. Run with purpose. Sydney McLaughlin in the 400 meter hurdles. She got a new coach just this last year, getting ready for the Olympics. And the coach, you know, the first thing the coach told her to do, you need to go over the hurdles with either leg. And made her run on her bad leg. The one that, you know, there's the good leg you can go over. Then there's the one that, hey, doesn't go quite as good. And so what happens is most hurdlers, when they're running, they'll run like this. And then they stutter step so they can get over with their good leg. They get there and, oh, I'm off. Stutter step, get over with a good leg. They're misstepping. What she did, when she got there, didn't matter what leg she was at. She just jumped over whatever leg. And if you watch her in the Olympics, she uses both of them. She set a world record. She beat her own world record. Why? Because when the hurdle came, she wasn't going to waste time misstepping somewhere. Instead, she was going to get over that hurdle and run to the finish line. Ladies and gentlemen, we have so many things that want to sidestep us. So many things to get us distracted. So many things to get our mind off of the purpose and winning the prize and running our race well. And all of us face that. All of us face that. I'm just saying, look for it and decide, no, I'm not going to take that detour. I'm not going to run in that direction. I'm not going to waste my time there. I run with purpose. God has a purpose. He has a destiny for you. Get it and enjoy it. Secondly, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, shadow boxing. And I put here, I run to the fight. I run to the fight. It's like something going on, man. I'm running to the fight. I'm going to get into this thing. Instead of an obstacle, a problem, an issue happening in my life, instead of going, oh, I don't want to face that, and we shy away, instead, we run to it, and we start fighting it right now, man. Right here, right now, it's going to be over. Instead of running from the fight, instead of shadow boxing, oh boy, when I get there, I'm going to do this. No, get there, and then do this, and then do that. Run the race. God's got you as a Christian. He's got so many awesome things that he wants you to do with your life that will enhance and advance the kingdom of God. And God knows in this day where times are difficult, we need people who are advancing and speaking the positive things of the gospel of Christ. Because I'll tell you what, Washington, D.C. is not going to save America. Jesus Christ is the ultimate Savior. He's the one who saves us. And the more people that know Jesus Christ, the better off America will be. Thirdly, I run with purpose. I run to the fight. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I run with discipline. I run with discipline. Discipline. No. Discipline. You know, some people think that discipline is a bad word. Discipline is a great word because it changes us on the inside. Discipline. To give up what you want for what you want more. Hear that? Discipline. To give up what you want for what you want more. Abraham Lincoln said it this way. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. That's very simple. Do you want the potato chip now or do you want to lose a few pounds? It'll always be there. And folks, I fight it too. I'm not saying what's wrong with you. I'm trying to say that God is trying to challenge us in the spiritual realm to make decisions to advance our spiritual lives, to become more and more like Him each and every day. Our world, America, needs us to be more like Jesus Christ each and every day, so that we respond more like Christ to a world that's getting more and more disillusioned with things and more polarized. Jesus is the only one that can put us all back together. It's what He does. What do you want most in life? To be popular? Or to have Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." What do you want most in your life? To enjoy that internet screen that's full of pornography and all of that crap? Or do you want Jesus Christ saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, look what you did with your life"? I'm saying we all have a snare. I'm not criticizing anybody. We all have a weak spot. We all have an Achilles heel. But God is saying, hey, work on it. Fight. 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 Run. 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 For the glory of God. What do you want most? What do you want most? It's interesting. For Polish athlete Maria Andrea JCZYK, I don't know how you say that, something mattered more than the silver medal that she won in the javelin during the Tokyo Olympics. After disappointment in the 2016 Olympics, she missed out on a medal by 2 centimeters. Missed out. Then she had a shoulder injury. Then she had an Achilles injury. Then she was diagnosed with bone cancer. Went through all those obstacles. Comes back and wins the silver medal in the bronze. And she was saying that silver medal represent to her all the adversity that she overcame in order to win. In order to win. Then she's on Facebook or some media and she finds out that there's a baby 8 months old with a heart defect. And it's going to die if it doesn't get this operation. So you know what she does? She goes on and she auctions off her medal. Let me say this first. She didn't know that baby, had no relation to it, just saw it. But she got involved. She auctioned off her medal to pay for the surgery that would happen at Stanford University. She auctioned it off for $125,000. Somebody bought it. A Polish grocery chain bought the medal from her for $125,000. And she writes about how she's sending the medal and all of that. But you know what? There was something more important, the life of a person, than her own accolades and all that that gold or that bronze or that silver medal represented to her. And you know the cool thing? That grocery store sent back her medal to her and said, "Thank you for caring. Thank you for caring." I run with purpose. I run to the fight. I run with discipline, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The devil is trying to get you DQ'd any way he can. He wants to disqualify you. Oh, get involved in something. Do something. Do an egregious sin. And then he's going to start telling you how creepy you are. You're a rotten Christian. You should quit being a Christian. Why don't you just give in to all of this stuff anyway? Nobody cares anyway. You've disappointed God. You've disappointed everybody. Just throw it all away. That's exactly what the devil wants to do to DQ you. To tell you how rotten you are. And Jesus, you know what he says? You're a child of God. You're my child. You may have a poopy diaper, but you're my child. And I will change you. I love our sign out here that says, change starts here. Change starts here. Change starts with Jesus Christ. You want to change your life? You're going to need Jesus Christ to help you change. And you know what? When you change, you're going to smell good. Smell good. Smell good. Disqualified. How does he get us disqualified? A false start. He tries to get you to run outside your lane. Hey, over here. You're pretty. And then we run over in the other lane. DQ'd. I'm saying the enemy wants to disqualify you. Don't let him. Look at this video here about Usain Bolt being disqualified. He's the fastest man in the world. The fastest man in the world. He did not run in the 2011 World Championships because of a false start. Look at this. He's the fastest man in the world. 9.5.
Oh, no.
He can run backwards. No. You start that again. Start it one more time. Can you? I don't know if you can. There you go. Go ahead.
Oh, no. The whole crowd will go. Because
that
was Usain Bolt.
Massive, massive disappointment. And he knows it too. The vest came straight off.
The whole of the photographers who assembled at the finish ready to celebrate
Everybody's
the moment
going, what?
Have now run down to the
what?
Beginning of the race.
The fastest man in the world doesn't run in the
he
world
knows what
championship.
He's done. When it came to the big moment, he's looked so impressive.
Because only
in the
one disqualification.
Here, and it's just not
you don't get
be
one
for Usain Bolt because
on
surely
the first
he was away
time
well
a person
false the
starts,
the
they will be DQ'd.
In this year's
here he goes.
100-meter world championship final. No doubt about
And he didn't need to.
There,
he could have run backwards and beat all those people.
That's the first time I've ever seen Usain Bolt false start.
The enemy will always try to get you to false start. He wants you to run on something false, a false premise, a false idea, a false thought, a false ideology, a false premise, a false thing that we hold so dearly. Be careful of the false start. Be careful of the false start. The fault starts is playing games. We're not paying attention. We're believing the lies of the enemy. Don't fault start. Don't fault start. Don't fault start. It says in Matthew 7:13-14. You know, a lot of people in the false start think that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. God just loves everybody. It doesn't matter. All roads lead to heaven. You know, whatever you want to believe, however you want to get there, they all get you there. It's okay. You know, just try to be as good a person as you possibly can. Don't matter about nothing. Who do you follow? Whatever. Just be a good person. All roads lead to heaven because God loves everybody. Well, that's true. God loves everybody, but not everybody makes it in. That's the facts. It says here in Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad, meaning many roads, is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. There are many who go in by it. I'm going to conclude here. Just a moment. Destruction. 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 It says, and broad, many roads is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. I'll tell you what, as a pastor, as an evangelist, as a person who loves people, to see people walk away from God and to walk away into the abyss really bothers me. It really bothers me. We need to tell them, hey, don't go that way. Don't run that way. Don't believe that lie. It's wide. A lot of people can get through here. A lot of people are getting through there. And a lot of people are going to their destruction. Many. The word destruction means ruin or loss. Ruin or loss. It comes from a word that means to destroy fully, to perish, or lose, to ruin. I can't describe, I don't think, a better picture than what the enemy wants to do, but to ruin your life. He wants to ruin it just for the sport of it. The Mona Lisa, painted by Leonardo da Vinci in 1956, that wasn't when he painted it, but in 1956, the lower part of the painting was severely damaged because somebody came in and took acid and threw it on the painting. There's another painting by Rembrandt at the Hermitage. A person came in and threw sulfuric acid on it and then took a knife and cut it in two spots. These are antiquities that are amazing. Just to ruin it. Just to ruin it. What is this? What purpose does this serve for you? I just want to ruin it. The enemy wants to ruin your life. The enemy is no good. The enemy wants to ruin your life. Don't let him. Don't let the enemy take what the Lord has given you. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We know you put us in a race, whether it's school or from a job or being a husband, wife, kid, grandkid, maybe a ministry meet. Lord, we've all got races, and there's different races amongst us. Different races at different times of our lives. We have students here, school, it's the time of their life, they're doing that. You've told us that life is a race, and that we're supposed to run it to win. Not get sidetracked by all of the things that the enemy would do, by some 300-pound giant. But you said, I'll take care of you. In the trouble, I'll be there. You just keep running. You just keep moving. You just go to the finish line. Keep running. Keep going. I'm doing a work in your life. I'm changing you one step at a time. God, you love us so much. More than anybody, anywhere. The person we should trust the most is you. And you've given us great words of instruction, Lord. It's not always easy. It's difficult. It's hard, Lord, to run the race. So many distractions. My own flesh, the temptations that are out there. My own desires. Lord, we need your help. Help us to run, Lord, for the prize. Give us the courage, Lord, to discipline. To say no to things we shouldn't be involved in. No to stuff that's going to hurt us and not help us. No to relationships that maybe aren't the best for us. Because you have the best in store for us. Help us, Father, to run the race to win. To run it for your glory. And thank you for all of the help along the way. We love you, Jesus. We love you. And we thank you for being so, so very good to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Run your race well. To run it well, you have to have a good start. Start well. Don't fault start. Come to church. Get involved in a small group. Grow, grow, grow. And when you look back a year later, you're going to go, wow, I'm so much stronger as a Christian today because of the decisions I made before. Run hard. And let me tell you this. Whatever I can do to help you in that race would be the greatest joy and delight for us here as a church. We love you. We bless you. Let's run together and run to win. God bless you. Love you very, very much.